Three, two, Technorama episode 547, Text Message from Mars.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat.
Over there, in the media corner.
I got a rock.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Hello and welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you very much. If you're returning, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time and coming to this side of the block for Halloween candy. Unfortunately, we have no candy.
Man, that's scary.
Joining me, I'm Chuck Tomasi, and joining me in his best, scariest outfit is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
If you got no candy, I'm throwing eggs at your house. How's that?
Okay, I could use the toilet paper if you don't mind.
I would toilet paper your cactus.
Also joining us in Cactus Country 4, the very first time, if you can believe this man has never been on Technorama before, but I was doing my homework. We had him on an interview years and years ago, but according to him, those don't count.
There's no count. Not real.
I don't even know if we got an ID out of this guy. It's Evo Terra. How are you?
Hey, kids. Welcome to the party.
he's very familiar with this room, this house, and everything else that goes in it.
Oh, there's history. There's history.
The memories. Yeah, the history that shouldn't be named.
Yeah.
He probably still remembers all of the stuff still in the house.
Yeah, a lot of it probably looks really familiar. Hey, is that the same liquor cabinet?
That I wouldn't remember, to be really honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
True. No recollection.
All right, before we get into the show, we do have some feedback. Apparently, our listener feedback line still works. That's good. From Crazy Joe. Did you Crazy Joe call in way back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He's still around.
All right. My good man, Crazy Joe of the Megapodtastic podcast. Ding. I have a solution for you for the name of the app that can take words and songs and books and whatnot,
yes,
and translate it a million different ways and then spit it back out in English after it's been translated. You didn't know what to call the app. You were like, what do we call the app?
Well, Babblefish.
The answer is semi-obvious. I say semi-obvious because it's not 100% obvious, but it's semi-obvious.
Google Translate.
So take a name that you're maybe thinking of or leaning towards, like you said, like the word juicer you suggested, or maybe even the words binary high five or something like that. Take it, put it through the app, and whatever it spits out is the name of the app.
Okay.
You let the app generate its own name.
That's kind of
meta. That's my suggestion. The question just is, what words are you going to feed to the app to spit out the name? So that part I can't help you with, but the rest is gold. All keep right. wearing those pajamas.
All right.
Hey, Crazy Joe, we actually did that earlier, and it came out as Megapodtastic, so...
Every time. It's the weirdest thing. All right, here we go. I'm putting in binary high five, and I hit translate.
Wait, does Eva know what you're doing?
No.
What
this I'm is? Watching.
Okay. This is an app I wrote that goes out to Google Translate and picks random languages. So it went English to Latin, to Spanish, to Turkish, to Estonian, Portuguese, Gujarati, Canada, Urdu, and back to English. And binary high five comes back as the most five binary.
Wow. That was anticlimactic. All of that.
No kidding.
The most five high bear. That's funny.
But the Google Translate did all the work for me.
I understand.
You know, and the app was fun to write, and it just did the work for me anyway. So welcome. You know,
it's lost in translation.
Yes,
right. Got it.
It didn't get as lost as we had hoped, though. But we're gonna find out when we come back to this later. We have the safety dance.
Ah, okay.
That I did translate, and it's mostly the safety dance, but it changes into something else. Later in the song, it's not the safety dance anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Are we going to karaoke style this?
It's really hard because the meter gets totally mashed.
It came back as Tell It to My Heart from Taylor Dane.
Not quite. All right. This is the part of the show where we do the history segment. We take this date in history and we look at birthdays and events. And in order to do this fairly and squarely, we're going to take our D20, wherever mine went. There it is.
Oh.
Roll it, Craig.
Oh, man. Oh. Hey, Google. Roll a D20.
He doesn't have a real D20.
What up?
I got a 9.
See, the thing, you could lie right now and say, what do you got? But I got a 5.
I got a 4.
Oh, wow.
I won.
So. 9 wins. Roll for initiative, and he gets it.
I haven't rolled well on this show in a long time. Man.
I got it.
This is to show that there's no favoritism. So when we come up against weird names in the birthdays, it's not stacked against anybody.
I don't have just one person to make fun of now. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Not apropos of nothing. Sorry.
I'll let you figure out which one that's going to be.
All right. On with the music. On this day in history for October 31st, 2018, this is the 304th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 61 days remaining in 2018. It's Craig's turn.
It was on this date in 1517, Martin Luther posts his 95 theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg.
That's feces, kids.
That's what I said.
Feces.
Feces?
No.
What did you smear feces on the door? Did you have to get a PhD to understand that?
He lit it on fire and ran quickly.
Ding dong ditch.
Yeah.
Take that, Catholics.
Happy Halloween.
Catholics.
Your turn.
Whose turn? My turn now? Oh, I get it. Also, today in 1587, Leiden University Library opened its doors after its founding in 1575. And I'm sorry, what? And why? Are there things I want to know?
It's a library.
That? Okay.
They're great. Good for geeks.
Yeah.
105 years ago today, dedication of the Lincoln Highway, the first automobile highway across the United States.
What number is that?
I don't know.
They didn't have the Lincoln Highway. What a number.
They didn't need numbers back then.
Wow.
It was only one. October 31st, 1941, after 14 years of work, Mount Rushmore is completed.
Thank you, Gutzon Borglum.
It was also this date in 1943 that an F4U Corsair accomplishes the first successful radar guided interception by a United States Navy or Marine Corps aircraft.
Ooh. F4U sounds like something that the kids would do in texting if they don't want their parents to know what they're talking
about. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to read out the actual meaning of the acronym or just go. I went with it.
That same date in 1961, the Soviet Union, Joseph Stalin's body is removed from Lenin's mausoleum, also known as the Lenin Tomb.
And 45 years ago today, the Mount Joy prison helicopter escape happened. 3 provisional Irish Republican Army members escaped from Mount Joy Prison, Dublin, aboard a hijacked helicopter that landed in the exercise yard.
That's just badass.
Yeah.
I keep thinking of what was it, the Superman movie where the balloon comes in and takes Luther and
right. That's kind of what I was thinking. Well, they use a helicopter. That's cooler.
In the same way. On October 31st in 1999, we're going to party like it's, yachtsman Jesse Martin returns to Melbourne after 11 months of circumnavigating the world solo, nonstop, and unassisted.
That guy's nuts.
Wow.
Also today in the year 2000, Soyuz TM-31 launches, carrying the first resident crew to the International Space Station. The ISS has been crewed continuously since that time.
For how long, we don't know, but, you know,
we'll keep you posted.
And 7 years ago today, the global population of humans reached 7 billion. Of those, we don't know how many are intelligent, but there you go. This day is now recognized by the United Nations as the Day of 7 Billion. billion. Who named that?
Catchy name, huh?
And peace and harmony have existed ever since.
We've reached the right number. We're going for eight. Yeah. Go for eight. It's like an auction.
It was also,
we have to keep it at 7 billion, by the way. We can't go over, can't go under.
Uh-huh. It was also this day in 2014, just a few days ago. Well, years ago, does that matter? During a test flight, the VSS Enterprise, that's a Virgin Galactic experimental spacecraft test vehicle, suffered a catastrophic in-flight breakup and crashes in the Mojave Desert, California, once again ruining everyone's childhood dream of visiting space. Thanks, Richard Branson.
Yeah. Happy birthday goes out on this date, too. This is where it gets entertaining, kids.
Yeah.
French archaeologist and author Anne-Claude de Caylus, born on this date in 1692. I make it rhyme.
Italian physician, physicist, and academic Laura Bassi was born 307 years ago today.
Karl Weierstrass, the German mathematician and academic, was born 203 years ago today.
I can do better than that. Adolf von Baer, German chemist and academic, Nobel Prize laureate, was born on that same date in 1835.
And born October 31st, 1912, American animator and voice actor Ollie Johnston, which sounds like a name for something else.
Stop. American singer-songwriter and actress Dale Evans, born on this date in also 1912.
Wasn't that Roy Rogers' girlfriend?
It was.
Okay. John Hugenholtz, Dutch engineer and designer, was born on that same date in 1914.
And born October 31st, 1919, American mathematician and author Magnus Weininger.
Barbara Bel Gates, American actress, was born on that same date.
Do you remember her famous role she played?
No.
She was the grandmama on Dallas.
What, really?
JR's mom.
Wow, yeah. I do not remember.
What's her name, Ewing?
Barbara Bell. <What's her name?
laughs> Is it my turn?
It's your turn now. Oh, yes.
Also born on the same date in 1930, American general pilot and astronaut Michael Collins.
Also turning 83 today is American mathematician and theorist Ronald Graham.
And everyone's favorite television star, Michael Landon, the American actor. Oh, it's the same guy. I just threw that out there in case it was a different person. Anyhow, yeah. American actor, director, producer, and screenwriter was born 82 years ago today.
An American businessman and activist founded the Oscar Wilde Bookshop. His name is not Oscar Wilde, as you might think. Craig right. Rodwell was born 78 years ago today.
And David Ogden Steers, American actor, was born on the same date in 1942.
Charles Emerson Winchester III.
And the man who single-handedly rescued Tolkienism from obscurity,
yeah.
Peter Jackson, was born on this date in 1961.
Single-handedly, right.
Yeah. Nobody else is going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Also turning 55 is American actor and comedian Rob Schneider. 55?
Seems like he should be a lot older than me.
Or yeah. 35.
Well, I mean, one of the two, right? He needs to be, like, you know, on his deathbed or still, you know, 12. Right.
Right. Yeah.
You can do it.
We have a number of listener birthdays today. November 1st is Amber Elstad, Mark McCoy on the 2nd, two birthdays on the 3rd, Ken Pace, and
Ranger Craig.
Ranger Craig, still out there. Yes, he is on the 3rd. Happy birthday to you. Avner says, OMG, it's 2014 and I'm 40. I got news for you. The calendar kept running.
Yeah.
The Aztecs were wrong. It's November 4th.
Right.
November 5th, Michael Corlett from New Zealand. Happy birthday to all of you. If it was your birthday this week, we wish you all the best. If not, you can always go to our birthday page at chuckchat.com/wiki. Get your name on there. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year with some of these people whom we have been wishing birthdays for a decade or more.
And if I come back, it'll be an inappropriate time of the year.
Well, we can make it that if you wish.
Yeah.
That's the way it was on this day in history for October 31st, 2018. Thank you very much. Shall we do the news? What are we starting out with? Oh, is this the... No, this is not the story I was thinking of, but we'll do this one.
Good yeah. news, everyone!
And our good news is... Craig, you want to start out with this one?
Yeah, I think... Weren't we talking about this a little bit, the robocalls?
I know we were talking about robocallers. I think it was on our Patreon show.
I know I have spoken about robocalls. Yeah. I mean, just to regular people, we've talked about it. So
okay.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it some more.
Okay.
So robocallers evolved to sidestep new call blocking rules, AGs tell the Federal Communications Commission.
Is that
Commission.
Why I'm getting called a lot more now?
I know I am. The Federal Communications Commission should let phone companies get more aggressive with blocking robocalls, 35 state attorney generals told the commission yesterday, well, whatever day this was put out there, the FCC last year authorized voice service providers to block more types of calls in which the caller ID has been spoofed or in which the number on the caller ID is invalid. But the FCC did not go far enough, and robocallers have evolved to evade the rules, and 35 attorneys general wrote in an FCC filing, quote, one specific method which evolved recently and is a form of illegal spoofing calls called neighborhood spoofing. A neighbor spoof call will commonly appear on a consumer's caller ID with the same area code and local exchange.
That's what I've been getting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As consumer, as the consumer to increase the likelihood that she would answer the, or that he or she would answer the call.
I got news. It works.
Yeah. In addition, consumers have recently reported receiving calls where their own phone numbers appeared on the caller ID.
Okay, a that consumer, would just be wrong. I would not answer my own phone
number. Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, I wouldn't do that either.
The call is coming from inside your phone. It's coming from inside your phone. Get out of your phone.
Yeah. Get out. A consumer who answered one such call reported that the caller attempted to trick her by saying he was with the phone company and required personal information to verify the account.
Oh, please no.
Claiming it had been hacked.
Oh,
never
okay.
Answering my. This is why I don't answer my phone. Right here. This is it.
If it's not in your, you can block all those people that are not in your dialing.
No
in
phone
your
calls.
Contacts.
Well, no, send me an
that was
message.
Our question we were talking about is, do you answer your phone anymore?
Yes.
Yeah, and
because I've been
rarely.
Getting spammed a lot, either from the 92 area code and often with the same prefix, or somebody in the 201 area code has latched onto me and they keep moving around. It's like this time it's 1620 and this time it's 1624 and this one's 1267. So I can't always, it's like whack-a-mole with the phone numbers.
That's crazy pants. I'm going to pull up and see a list of what I've received recently just to show you how insane this actually gets. Because I do not answer my phone. I don't even know my phone number. To be really honest with you, I don't. I have a Google Voice.
Data device.
I've got a Google Voice number. I know that number, but I'm not sure what device is attached to this particular SIM card. So I'm just going to go through my list for what I have right now. One is a actual phone number that I don't recognize. Peoria Ford called me. Don't live in Peoria. Don't own a Ford. I got unknown. I got unknown caller. I got an 800 number. I got someone from Sacramento. I got my bank. My bank actually called me for checking some fraudulent activity that wasn't, luckily. And then survey, Peoria Ford again. Just, that's it. I mean, there's just nonstop.
Do you have any like conference call like WebEx or anything call you?
No.
Or do you generally do those through the computer?
I'll do everything through the computer.
Okay. Because I often have them go through my phone because computer tends to get a little glitchy on me sometimes.
Yeah.
But now I'm finding the pendulum is swinging the other way and the phone is getting more glitchy on the audio than the computer.
I don't
like people hearing me type and talk at the same time because it gets a little noise bangy.
Crazy thing for me in this article, it just said here that the FCC authorized carriers to get more aggressive on blocking this stuff. That means they said, okay, carriers, Sprint, T-Mobile, AT&T, feel free, have at it, block more of this stuff. Have they?
No.
Well, see, I'm trying to figure out how hard is it for them to enforce showing the number that the phone number originated from.
The non-spoofed number. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They can. I guarantee you they can.
Oh, yeah, because they could track it back themselves. I'm just saying how hard that would kind of like put an end to a lot of this garbage. Look, but
Someday we'll live in a garbage-free society.
Not and then today. You'll wake up.
Not today.
All right. Evo.
What?
I
this for me?
This one's for you.
Got it. A painting made by an artificial intelligence program sold at Christie's in New York auction on Thursday for a grand total of $432,500.
I was looking for a cash register sound, but that's as good as I got.
Again,
then it probably shredded itself.
Yeah, no, that would be a Banksy thing. Again, that was a painting that a non-human being, non-warm-blooded creature made. So an electronic thing for no apparent reason sold for $500,000.
And you have to put the picture up here. Donna, can you put that up? Because it looks like Potato Jesus.
What? Okay, so first off, I'd like to make a statement. I don't get art.
It's got a mathematical equation at the bottom, too.
You know, my computer can paint better than that, I think.
I think I can paint better than that with Microsoft Paint.
An anonymous phone bidder bought the painting called Portrait of Edmund Bellamy, which was created by an algorithm developed by the Paris art collective Obvious. A three-person team fed the network 15,000 portraits from the 14th through the 20th centuries.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, a New York Times reported that works from Andy Warhol and Roy Lichtenstein hung near the AI-generated portrait of their week. Talking about rolling over in the graves, fella. Those sold for only $75,000 and $87,000, respectively.
We didn't end up with, like, dogs playing poker or anything. I find that interesting.
Wow. That is completely and totally insane. So
I think the elephant paints better pictures than this.
I think so, too. Yeah. Of course, that's cruel. But, you know, there was no robots being forced into slavery to do this thing. But, yeah, nonetheless. So someone made this comment. Who's the name here? What's that? Robbie Barrett said he is an artist, and he said that the Obvious used a code that he had written. Ooh. But released publicly. Okay, great. Public domain now, buddy. Okay. Obvious confirmed to the website here that they did, in fact, pull from Barrett's work, but altered the code, to which he said, am I crazy for thinking that they really just used my network and are selling the results?
Yes.
Welcome to capitalism, my friend.
You've been had.
Hey, well, people make open source software all the time and make money off of it because they charge for services around it. So.
This wasn't just the software, though. He said, using my network. Sounds like they're using more resources than just the software. Ooh. Yeah.
Look, all this guy can do is now just start selling the borders and frames that go around it. That's where the money is anyhow. Who wants to pay? Yeah. Why does it cost me $90 to have this damn thing framed? Really? It's like $3 worth of materials here. What's the $87 going towards?
It's finally handcrafted. I don't think you can outdo the $475,000, though.
That's an expensive frame.
That's
you'd have to get a hand tooling.
A lot of gold leaf.
Yeah.
On to our next news story. That potato Jesus picture just cracks me up, though.
Potato Jesus.
We saw a potato Jesus-like painting in Notre Dame. There was a painting that was out for cleaning, and they put up this temporary picture in its place.
Like a post-it note.
And it was really low grade. I mean, it was. Wow. I wish Lisa had gotten a picture of it because she's the one who spotted it. By the time she told me, we were already too far down, and the crowd of people has sort of pushed that direction. Next news story: Tim Berners-Lee, the founder of the World Wide Web, thinks it's broken, and he has a plan to fix it.
Oh, great!
Yay!
Get rid of spammers and trollers.
Then we can get rid of the fake news.
Right.
The British computer scientist has announced a new project that hopes will radically change his creation of giving people full control over their data. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Tim Berners-Lee says, this is why I have, over recent years, been working with a few people at MIT and elsewhere to develop Solid, an open source project to restore the power and agency of individuals on the web. Solid changes the current model where users have to hand over personal data to digital giants in exchange for perceived value. As we've all discovered, this hasn't been in our best interests. Solid is how we evolve the web in order to restore balance. Kind of like midichlorians, I guess. Mm. By giving every one of us complete control over data, personal or not, in a revolutionary way. Solid is a platform built using the existing web. It gives every user a choice about where data is stored, which specific people and groups can access select elements, and which apps you use. It allows you, your family and colleagues, to link and share data with anyone. It allows people to look at the same data with different apps at the same time. Solid unleashes incredible opportunities for creativity, problem solving, and commerce. It slices, it dices, it makes julienne fries. It will empower individuals, developers, and businesses with entirely new ways to conceive, build, and find innovative, trusted, and beneficial applications and services. I see multiple market possibilities, including Solid apps and Solid data storage.
I'm going to be a bit skeptical on this. I mean, I love the idea. I love the principle.
Yep.
But it sounds like there are a crap ton of decisions that might need to be made just before I can watch this pirated video that I downloaded.
And by the time things like this utopian society get implemented, they're usually whitewashed down to the point where we're back where we started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you watched Silicon Valley? That was the whole thing, is they were making a decentralized internet, and every time they come around to something, they always get pushed back to where they started at.
I wish him the best of luck. I love the idea.
Yep.
Let's see what we can get out of this.
I wish him as well. What do we got on time? It's break time. We'll be right back after
this. All right, smoke them if you got them.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. So hang out with us. Stick around. We'll be back with some hacks and strange stories. Remember when, and maybe something else of interest. Hold on.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
This is Adam Savage from Mythbusters, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
See, I told you that'd be short. All right, Craig.
Oh, is that over yet?
Man, that is okay. Over.
What are we? I totally missed a chance for that's what she said. But anyhow, continue.
Fine, right. We'll do it anyway. On with the hacks and strange stories. Now it's your turn.
Whose turn?
Hey, me,
Craig.
Oh,
well-oiled machine, gentlemen. Well-oiled every machine. Time.
One of these years, we'll get it right. Anyway,
like
Chinese
one of those
woman,
trailer parks that says no tornadoes in like 3 days. We've had no podcast mistakes in zero shows.
Yeah, we'll reset the counter.
Right, it's a days, but you know it gets to six and then seven. Nope, just flip it back to zero, man. There's no
every
way we're
Sunday
getting
night,
it.
It's back to zero.
All right, so a Chinese woman recently found herself unable to use her fingers on her right hand after spending an entire week-long vacation playing video games on her smartphone.
Huh.
Let me repeat that. A week-long vacation playing video games on her smartphone.
Some vacation. Why didn't she just stay at home?
Yeah. So maybe she did. So an unnamed woman from Changsha in China's Hunan province.
This is awesome. As a guy who just came back from living in 4 years in Asia, I'm enjoying this. Please continue, Craig.
You think you can do better?
Yes, yes, he can.
Probably can.
On this front, yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, she reportedly took a week off from work and spent all that time playing on her smartphone, according to a Pear video recently
yes,
documenting
you said
her.
Pear, right?
Yeah.
You got the fruit down, man.
I'm about to hurl some fruit that way. A Pear video documenting her bizarre case. The only time she put down her phone was when she slept. Seems smart to me. Usually I hit my face with it if I'm trying to.
Dunk.
After a few days, she started experiencing severe pain in her right hand, and she kept playing until her fingers became stuck in the smartphone holding position, and she found herself unable to flex them. It was only after the fingers on her right hand became completely paralyzed that the woman sought medical attention at a local hospital. After doctors examined the patient's deformed hand and ran some tests, they diagnosed her with tenosynovitis, an inflammation of the fluid-filled sheath that surrounds your tendons. Tenosynovitis is usually caused by immense strain from overuse and repetitive usage of a particular joint. And in this particular case, it was the result of the woman grasping her phone for many hours on end, several days in a row. So luckily for this avid gamer, the doctors were able to administer a treatment, and she was soon became regained full control of her fingers. It is unclear whether she will start playing on her phone again as this happened. Maybe she'll start using a stylus
or take a break every hour or so. No, I've done that. Not necessarily with the phone, but I've done repetitive stuff with my hands, and they just start locking up. Like, oh, man,
well,
I'm stuck.
I remember my mom. We were playing like Pac-Man on the Atari 2600. I remember she's playing. She's just going, "Ow, ow, ow!" And we look over, and she's got a cramp in her thumb because yeah. If you hit the button on the Atari version, you could go faster. or something like that. And
those Atari joysticks were so ergonomic, weren't they?
Yeah, big block, you know, with one button.
I just think it's fascinating. This woman said, you know, hey, my finger's paralyzed. Good news, everyone. I have four more.
Man.
And speaking of more, there's more crazy news from one of my favorite sites, Oddity Central. Eva, you might enjoy this one just from the title.
You want me to try that? Or are you going to give it a shot?
Go for
it. All on me. Shop owners ask robbers. Wait. For the wrong time. Rewind. Shop owner asks robbers to come back later if they want more money. They listen. Get arrested.
News at 11.
I love titles that just tell you the entire story. A group of six idiot delinquents have been dubbed the dumbest robbers in Belgium after falling for a trick so simple that Dumb and Dumber could see through it.
This sounds like a challenge.
The unbelievably stupid robbery attempt took place on Saturday when a group of six armed men walked into an e-cig shop on the outskirts of the Belgian city of Charleroi. They asked the owner, I did that in a Thai accent. They asked the owner to empty the register, give him the money. He was in the middle of the afternoon, or it was the middle of the afternoon, so the quick-thinking salesman told them that he barely had sold anything, and that if they really wanted to make some money, they should come back at closing time. Solid advice.
Sounds good.
Thus far. He even tried to sweeten the deal by telling the robbers that they could probably walk away with 2,000 or 3,000 euros if they fought. Oh, let me translate that to American dollars. That's $2,000 to $3,000. But what respectable criminals would fall for that stupid trick, right? Well, these idiots that are pictured right here in the head shop. Sorry, e-cigarette shop. Anyhow, he told them to come back at 3 p.m. because that was not the best time to hold up a store at 3 p.m. Good God, the shop owner.
I know my hold-up times. You're not in peak hold-up times.
Right. Hey, man, you take $1,000 right now, but if you come back tonight, you might be able to take more. So this guy says that currently there's some pushing and shoving. He didn't give them anything at all, but again, he repeated if they come back later, he would have 2,000, maybe 3,000 euros. And after talking it over themselves, the six men left the shop.
Six. There wasn't a bright one in the bunch. There's six of them.
Six boobs left the shop, and the owner then, as being not the boob, called the cops, told the cops what happened, including the part about telling him to return at closing time. But the police didn't think that they were that dumb.
The police were dumber.
And you know what? They were right. Turns out because the idiots came back an hour earlier. They still showed up again, but an hour earlier
than
closing time.
You don't want to be a tardy thief.
I guess that's true. Oh, man. 5:30 in the afternoon, the would-be robbers once again showed up at his door, but the cops hadn't been there, so he had no choice but to do what, you might ask? Send them away again.
You're too early.
I berated them, saying, you have to buy a watch. It's not 5:30, it's 6:30, and the idiots left.
So I sold them a watch, too.
And he finishes that sentence by saying, they weren't the brightest. Really? I think we're catching on that one. And then, crazily enough, at 6:30, these six idiots once again showed up ready to collect the promised loot, only this time the cops decided to show up as well and were waiting for them. Five people were arrested, including a minor, with the sixth offender managing to escape. How did they escape? They came back three times.
That's when at 5:30 the guy calls the police and go, you didn't think they'd show up. They showed up.
Shop owner says, I like a comedy. They are being now called the worst robbers in Belgium.
How do you live something like that down?
Wow.
You could never go to those robbery parties again.
That reminds me of this guy came in to rob a store and he wanted cigarettes. And then the guy said, I need to see your ID. And he gave it to him.
Wow.
That's a
brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Like the guy who signs his name on the soaped windows or the graffiti.
Idiots.
Hey, by the way, Chuck, we got a problem. We got a problem.
What's the problem?
You posted the birthday. You announced the birthdays for November 1 through 5.
Yes.
That's the next week coming
up. That's the week coming up. The show goes out on the 31st, so we need everything from the 31st through the 6th.
We also haven't called out any of them for the time we were out.
You really want to go through that? We ran out of music just getting through the ones we had. Okay, because we have been out for a while. Let's do this as quickly as humanly possible. John Durhold, Joe Doe on the 6th. October 9th had two birthdays. Itsuko Rumke and Mario. Victor Cahiao on the 10th.
Cahiao!
He's still out there in South Dakota now.
I know.
Yeah. Garrett Rafal on the 10th. The 11th, Bruce Barr. We haven't heard from Bruce Barr in
millennia. Bruce Barr?
That Juice Barr. Jason Schwanz on the 13th. The 19th is Russell Pearson, a.k.a. Nine Reads. Mike from near Des Moines, Iowa on the 20th, 21st. Happy birthday to Daniel Ebdrup Jensen, a.k.a. Debdrup. He used to be in our chat room all the time, didn't he?
I know.
21st is also Justin Deal, a.k.a. Null Operations. We saw him until recently. He wasn't at this past Dragon Con. If maybe not 17. Was he at 17? I know he was at many Dragon Cons in the past.
I don't remember if he was. They all kind of blend together once you start thinking of the past ones.
I know. It's hard to unless you have a badge in the picture. You can't tell which year it was from.
Yeah.
Zach on the 22nd, as well as Cassandra from Canada, the 25th.
Mad Marv,
our favorite and first Patreon, spelled K-Y-L-E, but pronounced Marv. Hope that helps. Awesome. Still get a kick out of that. Happy birthday on the 25th. Also to Human Shield, Brit on Tour, and Scott from Minneapolis. 28th was Dylan Lakaida from San Antonio, and Big Jim Clark from formerly from Megapodtastic, because Joe is flying. Well, he's not solo. He's flying with his wife right now. And Megapodtastic is on hold with guests on the 29th. And Wolf Geek from Indiana. There, am I all caught up?
Yeah, now we're good.
All is right. That your idea of going through it fast? I just, because, anyhow.
Got to stop and make comments once
in
a
while. All right, just checking.
We did the Hacks and Strange Stories. Shout out to the chat room. What do we have? I see Kathy Spurgeon Luke. Kathy Luke, we haven't heard from her in a long time either.
Yeah, I see Kathy's.
How's your son?
Yeah, Kathy, Michael King.
Michael King, Mark Willman.
Tom Brote.
Old childhood friend, Tom Brote, John Miller Jr., Scott Tyler, Mike Stockman, and Anderton.
Mike Robinson. John Clifford.
Teresa Same.
Tim Elliott.
Sheila D.
Sheila D.
Hi, honey. I'm really here.
She was. I don't know if all these people are still watching, but they were at one point when we went through the chat.
She said, Evo is on here. I'll disconnect.
Right. Now she knows where I am.
She knows he wasn't lying when he said, I'm going over to Chuck's house.
She was checking on you.
This is my AI version of me here. I'm gonna do a painting in just a moment.
We did do that story about the guy from Mexico, and he said, I'm going out for cigarettes, and he went to the soccer match in Russia.
Oh.
He came back like a month later. No problem. No problem. So on the last show, I believe it was, we announced that application that Crazy Joe was talking about. And we said, we are going to try and make this a regular part of the show lineup. So whatever we call this application, the what was it? The most awesome safety? No, the most awesome binary app? Anyway.
It needs a better name.
It needs a better name.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Hey, call in and let us know if you got a better one.
And I have taken the safety dance, you know, the big hit from the 80s, right? Men Without Hats. And I ran this through, and this is the safety dance as translated from English to Spanish, to Ukrainian to Welsh, then Latvian, Bengali, Albanian, back to Latvian, Russia and English.
There's like four or five of those languages there are all Russian. They're just spelled wrong, right? I mean, Ukrainian, right. Latvian, Albanian, and Russian.
Sure, why not? Okay, so it doesn't remain the safety dance until the end. This is where it gets a little crazy. And it almost sounds like we're in trouble and we need to get out of here. Okay?
You want to sing this?
You want to try to sing it?
Oh, if you want, we can dance. We can leave our friends behind. Because your friends are not dancers, and if they don't dance, well, they're not friends of mine.
No. Well, they're not my friends.
Oh, they're not my friends. Sorry. I say that we can go where we want, a place that you cannot find, and we can act as we can from another country, leakage current, and we can dance if we want. We can jump. We can leave our friends behind, because our friends are not dancers, and if they don't dance, well, they are not my friends. I say we can go where we can go, where we cannot find it, and we can act as we can from another country, throw back and we can dance. Throwback.
Wait, it gets crazier.
We can want to be new at night, and we can go far along the path, and we can keep our hat on our feet, and suddenly the victory over raindrops. I say, if we can work, and if I'm not too, no one wants it. You can cure, insure, incredibly, and completely. And I can work as imbeciles. I can dance. We can control all the dances. We can dump, we can jump, dance, walls, wall, wall, walls. We can dance, dance. Everyone sees your hands.
Close, we're getting close. This is where it goes off the rails.
We can dance. We can dance. Anyone who takes advantage of this opportunity.
Security.
Security. Good dance for safety. Wait. Old beach dance security.
Security.
Safe valley. We can dance if we want. We have all our lives and minerals. Although we abuse it, we will not lose it.
Okay. Okay.
We are lost it.
I say that if we want to leave our friends, we can dance. Because your friends are not dancers. And if they don't dance, well, they're not my friends. I can dance. We can control all the dances. My God. This is so hard to say in character. Is this over yet? Not yet.
It's coming.
Where was I? We can dance. We can jump. Dance. Wall, walls. We can dance, dance. Everyone sees your hands. We can dance. We can use this opportunity to dance around the world. Good dance for safety. On beach dance. Good dance for safety. Good dance for safety. Oh, yeah. Safety dance. Valley of security. Oh, it's a security dance. This is a safe dance. Well, this is a dance. Oh, it is a security dance. Oh, it's a security dance. Oh, it's a security dance. Oh, it's a security dance. Oh, a security dance.
As we fade out, it's now the security dance. It's trickier than it sounds, isn't it?
That was not easy.
That was funny.
Applause for you, sir.
S.
What did they say? Leaking currency?
Leakage current.
little personal.
But. It just comes out of nowhere. Leakage current. Security. Leakage current. Now you know how I do this.
Wow. That's crazy. That
That's devilish.
My cheeks hurt.
That's the point. I hope
I didn't read those lyrics. That could come up next, though.
Hope the listeners appreciated that as much as we did. This show is brought to you by you. Where's my awesome music for the... There it is.
There you go.
There it is. Because these people bring us the force to bring you this show. You are our patrons, and for that, we give you additional content, which we call our Patreon show. Maybe we should just sing those songs for the Patreons. No, that wouldn't drive any more adoption. Special thanks to Avner Braverman, John Clifford, Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Leon, Gary Lindros,
hi, Gary.
Chris MC, Harold McKinstry. He's our new guy, right?
Yes.
John Miller Jr., Megapodtastic, Kyle Nishioka, John Noble.
Wait, that John Noble?
Not that John Noble.
Okay.
Jorga Schrawin, Night Gig Studios, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Ben Vaughn, and Mike Wills. Thank you to all of you who contribute and keep this show going, offset the cost of hardware, software, hosting, bandwidth, and anything else we might need to put this ludicrous insanity together that we call.
Do I get a piece of the action for this show?
A piece of the action?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a Star Trek episode?
Hey, just give him a beer out of the fridge. That's about what it's equal to.
50 quat lose.
Yeah.
You get twice as much as Craig gets.
Wow. You guys work on your partnership a little better, Craigie.
He gets nothing.
Man. Don't spend it all in one place there, Eva.
You can go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast if you want to be among these illustrious people and help the show continue on its way. Because the cool thing is, you only pay when we do content, and then we reward you for it. So that's the cool part. We had a lot of time off in October.
And
November is looking quite shaky as well, with more business travel coming up. But we'll see what we can do.
And when you get these episodes, you know, and you give us some money, and then that's when the buyer's remorse comes in.
You can put them in a gold frame.
Yeah.
And then have your AI paint a potato technorama.
Right.
All right. Craig, you put something in the media corner. Tell us.
Yes.
Halloween?
Yeah, since it's Halloween. I was talking about earlier that on Sunday afternoon, we rented the original Halloween movie and watched it with our son. And
When Jason was 14?
Huh?
When Jason was 14?
Yeah, well. So anyway, we started watching the show and the movie, and of course my memories of it are a lot different than when you watch it nowadays, because I haven't seen it in, you know, since the 80s. So we're watching it and I'm like, wow, this is not hold up.
So we went back to the original Friday the 13th and checked that instead.
Yeah, it was much better. Yeah. So, but it's funny because the acting was not fantastic. The situations that they're in, of course, aren't realistic. You know, oh, let's get a beer. Oh, let's go upstairs. You know, or the my parents are out. Okay, they're all gone all day. Let's go. You know, I'm like, so their parents are conveniently out and they can go up there and frolic and do whatever they're going to do. And, you know,
was it the standard horror movie tropes in there?
Well, yeah. That's what I wanted to say. I mean, in their defense, 40 years now, we see that those are now tropes. They weren't tropes then. That was like, hey, here's a great idea. No one's ever done it before.
Let's go upstairs.
Let's split up, you know?
Yeah. But there's a couple of scenes where, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis just happens to not have the keys in her pocket that she put in there earlier, you know, and things like the girl contrived. The girl went out of her house, out of the house she was babysitting in, to get in the car, and the car is in the driveway, and the car in the garage, inside the garage. I'm like, why would you park your car in some stranger's garage and it's locked?
That seems a little
odd. She has to go get the keys, and she comes back and she just opens the handle and gets in without using the keys. Of course, Michael's in there, and it's
right,
like,
you have to park in his garage so he can get in the back seat without you knowing. He's like,
yeah,
it's
just
part of the
funny,
HOA.
Some of
you
the
can't
things.
Park on the street. You got to park in the garage. Yeah.
But it's funny. Yeah. That's what I was getting at, was some of all those tropes. It did probably set precedence for a lot of those that we see going forward, but it was just obviously does not hold up. It's just kind of funny, except for Jamie Lee Curtis. She held up.
Well, like I said, you know, when we talked about this earlier, I think out of everyone in the movie, she was the only actress. The only person who was a professional actor was her.
Yes.
The others were trying to kickstart their careers and failed miserably.
Yeah.
Probably. Well, she also had some street cred behind her family. You know, she came about it honestly.
That is true. Yeah. She definitely had a leg up.
No, like Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, true. Exactly the same.
So what other movies that do you think you finally think back on and then you go watch it and it's like, oof. Like horror movies.
I haven't had the guts to go watch any old movies.
Well, and that's not a bad strategy because, you know, your memories of things are A, faulty, and B, probably better than things actually were.
Well, and when you were 14, you were watching the movie for a different reason, you know, to see some boobs.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, the errant boob shot is always an important thing. But right. And you don't have the same experiences. You don't really get what things are anymore.
You don't know what bad writing is at that age.
That is true.
Well, unless it's really obvious.
That's true, right? But then sometimes that's kind of funny.
Should get the keys to the car, he asked.
Yeah. Oh, my name. No.
Your name.
Well, I mean, when's the last time you watched Rosemary's Baby? I mean, this movie was 1970, I'm going to say two.
Yeah.
It's been out for a long time. And this was universally thought to be like the most frightening thing. It was just flat out terrifying to people.
And now?
It you could play this at 3 o'clock on a Sunday. It is, there's nothing.
In church.
Yeah.
In church.
Yeah. It is very, you know, not what we now know as horror. It's just, I mean, it is a horror film, obviously, but yeah, they don't have the credit anymore.
Have you seen The Shining lately? I watched that about 2 years ago.
Okay. What'd you think?
I thought it still held up pretty well. Yeah. I mean, watching Johnny go a little psycho towards the end.
And those twins with the bloody elevator. I mean, in my head, I haven't seen probably 20 years, but it's still not going away.
Exactly. There are some classic shots in there that the lady in the bathtub.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's still, that made it into Ready Player One. That's how iconic that stuff is.
Yeah, right.
Was that in Ready Player One?
The elevator scene was, but it wasn't quite
the elevator
exact same
scene.
Thing,
yes,
was it?
So, and the lady in the tub.
Yeah, they were. So they had a little bit of a sequence, but you know, it was
okay.
It was,
yeah.
It was solid. Here,
I'll tell you what.
Go ahead.
I mean, go ahead, Eva.
No, I'm going to slightly change topics, but it's still in the horror genre. So continue.
Oh, Well, I was also going to throw out there Nightmare on Elm Street. That's
that was not one. Holding up well at all.
No.
I you know,
Freddy Krueger is like pushing over a trash can and stuff like that. It's like, really?
So, but I will give the two of you gentlemen and our listeners a homework assignment.
Okay.
So while I was spending my time in Thailand, you guys might know I was the co-host of the Bangkok podcast. And my co-host, Greg Jorgens, by the way, the Bangkok podcast continues even without me. It's on season 3 now. It's going really, really well. Another guy named Ed has joined, and it's a great show.
All right.
They recently had an episode where they talked about Thai horror movies. Because there's a whole film scene in Thailand, and they have a rich history, especially because the ghost culture in Thailand is so prevalent. It's very different what a Thai ghost is to our Western sensibilities of what ghosts are. Very, very different.
Is it more like the Mexican?
I wouldn't even call that. They're not really ghosts as much as they're still people, and you wouldn't know that they're a ghost except they can like do crazy things like extend their arms for 16 feet. It's just really bizarre stuff.
Like Elastigirl.
But so yeah, exactly, kind of like that. But that's how you know that they're really dead. Anyhow,
Elastigirl is a zombie.
Kind of makes no sense. But one of both of those guys say that there is a movie called Shudder. Shutter, as in a camera, like a like Shutter. Now, make sure you get the Thai version, not the horrible American remake, and not even the either Japanese or Korean one that I watched. I couldn't find the Thai version. And both of these guys, Greg and Ed, are telling me how terrifying this. And these guys, these are grown men. Ed is in his mid-50s. Greg is in mid-40s. These are big guys. They did not grow up in sheltered life. And they said this was the most terrifying thing they've ever watched, this Thai movie called Shudder. Now, I was unable to find the Thai version of it, so I watched the Korean or the Japanese version of it and considered them both little pansies because there's nothing terrifying about that flick at all. But they both admonished me and said, no, we told you to watch the Thai version.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very scary, but I have not been able to find it. So here's your homework assignment, geeks that are out there. Find me that movie.
Okay.
I want to see Shudder, the Thai version. I don't know what year it came out in, but they didn't make a remake in Thailand.
Is it not 2004? IMDb? Craig, are you looking at IMDb?
Fine. Yeah, it came out in 2004.
And there you go. And both of guys were in Thailand at that time. So yeah, relatively new. So it's not an old movie. You know, it's 15 years old, but it should hold up and it should terrify the pants off of you. Or I get to call up on the show and tell them they're all pansies.
All right, I'm going to see if I can find it.
You are the man. I appreciate that.
Shudder Tiver. Okay. Got myself a note. Okay.
All right. We're going to give Evo a rest after singing the security dance.
Oh, I have to do that now?
Okay. No, good. We're good. One more story, or do we have two more stories? We got this.
We got two more. Do we have enough time?
We got time.
All right.
We got time. This is podcasting. There's no time restriction.
All right. The time zone hasn't changed yet. That's next week.
We're in Arizona.
That's tomorrow.
We don't change. No.
Tomorrow? The people that are listening to this right now, November 1. November 1. This comes out on the 31st.
Okay.
So no, November 1 is the day after.
Changes on a Saturday.
Oh, is it the weekend?
Like an early in the Sunday
morning. Oh, I heard 1st of November, so I just assumed meant actually the 1st. But no, you're right. First weekend.
First weekend in November.
Oh, good.
Gotcha. Okay, change your clocks, everybody. Except Arizona,
except
Hawaii.
And Thailand.
And what is it, Monaco or somebody now is deciding to stay on one time zone?
Oh, that's right. I did see that, yeah.
It was Monaco? Morocco.
Morocco.
Morocco. That's what it was.
Yeah.
You start with an
album. Wish we'd do it, but...
And China.
Write your congressman. Tell them all you want.
Vote.
New high-tech spray. Are we on the Geek Library? Where are we?
Yeah,
we're on the Geek Library. Then we better play the Geek Library song. Because it's just a cool song. Sorry.
And a lightsaber got thrown in there.
It almost sounds like a lightsaber. Listen. It's a theremin more of a thing. New high-tech spray-on coating can make buildings, cars, and even spaceships cooler. Now, it's not like putting flames on the side of your car. That's not that kind of cool. Managing temperatures, particularly hot and sunny climates, can be very difficult, as we in Phoenix know. Even today, you can use your air conditioning to displace the heat from the inside structures and vehicles, but it sucks up so much power and can generate pollution that ultimately makes temperature problems even worse. Now, a team of scientists from Columbia Engineering have developed what could be
a much more efficient solution for keeping things cool. And you can spray it on just about anything. This sounds like a Billy Mays commercial.
You're reading it like a Billy Mays commercial, yes.
In a new paper published by Science, and researchers described how they came up with a paint-like coating that facilitates what is known as passive daytime radiative cooling. That doesn't even make a good PDRC. That's not even a good initialism or acronym. PDRC occurs when a surface can efficiently radiate heat and reflect sunlight to a degree that it cools itself even if it's sitting in direct sunlight. Hey, we may want this on some cars in Phoenix.
No kidding.
Blindingly white paint is often thought of as a simple way to keep something cooler in the sun than it might normally be. But as Columbia explains, it's not nearly as effective as it could be. Pigments in paint tend to absorb certain wavelengths of light, even if they're lightly colored. Sure. So researchers had to come up with something completely different.
That's how color works,
yes,
by the way.
you actually see what's reflected.
Yeah.
So green isn't green because it's reflecting
green.
Everything
else that is absorbing.
Isn't that bizarre when you think about it?
I know. It blows your total mind. Yeah.
Like, I see green. Right. But it's not green. Their newly invented coating has nano to microscale air voids that act as spontaneous air cooler, which is a very technical and fancy way of saying that the coating is great at keeping itself cool all on its own. Quote, the air voids in the porous polymer scatter the reflective sunlight due to the difference in the refractive index between blah, blah, blah surrounding polymer, blah, blah, blah. This is all technical stuff that I think my chemical engineering PhD daughter might understand.
Yeah.
The polymer turns white and thus avoids solar heating, while its intrinsic emittance causes it to efficiently lose heat to the sky.
Interesting.
It sounds great, but the best news is that it can be applied to just about anything, from cars to spaceships and even entire buildings. The team believes that their invention, I wouldn't apply it to your windows, though you wouldn't be able to see out of the windows. Invention would be an invaluable resource for developing countries in sweltering climates where air conditioning is impractical or unavailable.
I want it now.
Yeah. Third world countries are not. We could use it in
They can't afford it. We can.
We'll beta test it for you. And get the cost down.
Can you do the shirts and things like that with this? I mean, clearly you can't put it on your skin there's the whole.
If it's polymer based, that would imply it's flexible,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. So spray this on clothes because the idea is this thing it loses more heat.
Oh, self-cooling.
Than it gains. So because it's pulling heat from my body, it's hitting this 98.6 degree heater that's right underneath it.
Right.
So if it's wicking that heat away from me as it's radiating it outward, that sounds awesome.
I think I need to run this by my PhD.
It sounds like something you wouldn't want to get drunk and fall asleep with, though, because you'd be dead.
Man suffers from hypothermia in the middle of Phoenix in July.
Hey, I remember those space blankets that everybody was buying?
Yes.
I'm talking about a long time ago when they first started coming out.
Those thin foil ones.
Mylar blankets.
Yeah, and people, I remember a story where somebody was laying on the beach with one and they basically
cooked themselves?
Dried up. Yeah. They just
like a
died.
Like a raisin.
Hey, look, it's a pharaoh.
I mean, can you imagine that, thinking that's a good idea to lay on that at the beach?
That sounds like a bad idea.
If it was reflective, they probably thought they were going to give themselves a nice tan.
Well, it wasn't nice.
Yeah. They got one, but yeah. That freaked me out as a kid, though. That freaked me out as a kid, though. Just thinking about that.
Space blankets?
Yeah, just laying on the beach with something like that.
Did you watch Better Call Saul?
Yeah.
I'm not current with it, no.
Chuck McGill and his whole
space
blanket.
Yeah, his dad. Yeah, it was his brother. His brother. That was everything reflective because he's allergic to
electricity.
What?
Oh, yeah,
what?
That's right.
Oh, you mean you're crazy. Okay, got it.
No, it's a real thing. If you haven't seen Better Call Saul, it's like a prequel for Breaking Bad.
So good.
Very good.
So good.
And he wasn't even Saul Goodman at the time either.
No, not yet.
Jimmy McGill. He did explain where he got the name Saul Goodman.
Yeah. So you know it's coming. We're getting there.
It was very subtle and very quick. He goes, hey, why do you use that name?
Saul Goodman.
Saul Goodman.
Yeah.
All right. That brings us to near the end. What? Oh, what?
By the way, Britton Lineberger, I think he threw this in here for the horror movies we were talking about. And he said Omen.
Omen. Oh, Omen. Yeah. Damien.
You know, that movie did freak me out when I was younger.
That movie freaked my cousin out so much, he named her firstborn son that. And now we know why. 27 years later. Anyway.
Hey, I had a friend, his family owned a video store. And so we would always get the movies, you know, when they came out on,
sure.
It was like Thursdays or something. They right. come in Tuesday or Thursday. And he was big into horror movies. So we saw every freaking horror movie all the way through to things like Faces of Death, you know?
Oh, yeah. We actually watched all those.
Faces of Death.
Beating on the monkey's head. Those are terrible movies. But we watched them. Why? Because we were terrible teenagers. That's why we watched them.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible thing. Now did you ever see the worst one I ever saw? Not one of those. As a movie that we also, my friends owned a pizza parlor and video game store, both a combo.
Sure.
That's what they did.
I'd go there.
And that was like the only place you could either get pizza or rent movies in the town. So yes, you would go there. You would have to.
Yeah.
If you wanted either of those two things. They said they got a new movie and on it, like, this is the scariest thing ever. And it was a movie called I Spit on Your Grave.
I've heard of that. Oh, I haven't seen it.
I Come in Pieces.
It is the worst movie.
Wasn't that like the tagline?
I don't remember. Maybe. She hacks apart. She hacks three men, unrecognizable. So yeah, you're in the right ballpark.
Yeah.
Craig, I think we have a new question of the week that worst trumps movie. This one.
Worst it's
movie. Okay,
worst,
go for it.
What's the worst horror movie you've watched?
I tell you.
We'll save this. By the way, we'll save this for our show.
Save that in the queue. Our question of the week. We didn't get an answer to this week's question. Hold on.
What was this week's question?
Last show's question. Where is it?
I'll answer it.
Video you shared.
When you say, what is the worst horror movie you've seen?
The worst horror movie you've ever seen.
All right.
And I will put I Spit on Your Grave up there
gosh.
At the top of that list.
Yep. What our question last show was, what mundane task do you want a robot to do for you?
Paint. I wanted to make a painting that I can sell for $485,000.
Tom Joseph.
Done.
Tom Joseph goes for the general blanket statement. Go to work every day. Like, right. That pretty much covers it.
Hey, if you're enough trade labor, guess what? It's coming for you.
Cynthia Fry, weeding, cleaning, and dusting. Wayne Pettinger says, write the shell scripts I use to do my mundane tasks.
That's meta.
now we're getting meta on this.
That's
thing.
Like feeding a pig bacon, you know? I just
Sean Brockman, dealing with insurance companies, banks, and other sources of annoying paperwork.
That's coming.
Tiffany says, edit my podcasts. How about make my podcasts?
Yeah, that's coming.
Jonathan Strickland. Oh, I love Jonathan. Handle my email, like all of it.
Yeah, select all, delete.
Melissa A. Bartell goes domestic again, dusting, sweeping, and laundry. Larry Hudrick, everything but the fun stuff. Brian Richardson, taking out the garbage and cleaning cat pans. Craig, what did you respond to this? I second that.
Yeah.
Which part? Yeah.
But the cat part.
You know, there's another solution for that. Don't have cats.
Yeah, and those self-cleaning cat litter boxes aren't all they're cracked up.
They don't work.
No.
They don't work.
We have Clean House from Kim J. Brungraber. Alan Beckman says, read and reply to Facebook posts with my minimal input and historical reference intact, complete with appropriate emojis.
Hey, I think Cambridge most of the people on my feed do that.
Cambridge Analytica.
Ooh, sign them up.
Slam. Dina Henry Scott says, make my bed every day. Joe wants some shoveling snow. Have I mentioned I hate snow? Wait, instead of shoveling snow, I want my robot to obliterate all snow with its heat vision.
Yeah.
Gary says, you hate snow when you left Arizona? Something backwards about that equation. Kevin Kostelecki wants the robots to take care of his TPS reports. We have more laundry, toilets, wash tubs, and vacuum stairs, dust, lawn. We need to, let's see if there's more creative answers in here. Go to work and earn my paycheck for me.
That's called trading.
My cousin John says,
getting the Bitcoin.
What do you want the robots to do? Fire robots.
Did they mean like terminate robots? I don't know. Shoot them out of a cannon? Right.
I was thinking shoot them out of a cannon thing myself. Oh, boy. So thank you for everybody. Thank you, everybody, for your creative and wonderful answers. We expect another batch of them. I was going to say we expect more from you, but that didn't come out right. But I'll say it anyway.
Wow, we expected better from you. I'll say it.
Yeah.
I have the reputation for being that person anyhow.
Question of the week. Right. Spoiler alert.
And that's the last time we saw Evo on our show.
First and last. What is the worst horror movie you've ever seen? We want to know. Let us know by calling us on the listener line at 707- What's the number? 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT. Send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. You can put a message on our Facebook page over at facebook.com/technoramapodcast. Many other ways you can get in touch with us, but of course, just go to our website. All the links are there. RSS feed is there. Just chuckchat.com/technorama. It's the one-stop shop for everything you need. Thank you very much for joining us, Evo.
Sure, buddy. Happy to do it.
Good to have you back in the studio.
I remember this place now. You painted. Change the curtains.
Change the curtains.
It smells different, too.
What did it used to smell like? I'm afraid to ask.
I didn't say it smelled better or worse. I just said different.
Worst horror movie ever.
Yeah. Right.
Thanks, Craig.
No, thank you, boy howdy.
Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and give me a binary high five.
101.